Welcome to the Interactive Church Wednesday Testimony Meeting, a Christian Science teleconference hosted by csdirectory.com. We're delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, the web address is csinteractivechurch.org. Within the turquoise box, click on the first link, which provides the order of service and links to the words of the hymns and other information. During the meeting, we will mute everyone's phone to help eliminate background noises, thereby enabling a clearer connection. Later in the meeting, if you'd like to share a testimony, simply press star 2 and your phone will be unmuted. Only the reading portion of this meeting will be recorded so that individuals around the world may have the opportunity to listen at their convenience. Let's begin our service with singing hymn number 213. I shall read all the verses before we join in song, and a reminder that the link to the words of this hymn are on the Order of Service webpage. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for time to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Before the hills in order stood, or the earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. A thousand ages in thy sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for time to come, thou art our guard while ages last, and our eternal home. Hymn number 213. Again, welcome to this healing service at csinteractivechurch.org. The topic of the readings for this Wednesday meeting is individual spiritual consciousness. The hymns are 213, 199, and 329. I shall be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creatures after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there's life. I've given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he'd made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Deuteronomy. For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Mark. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next town, that I may preach there also. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. Revelation. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. And from Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. The Scriptures inform us that man is made in the image and likeness of God. Man is not a material habitation for soul. He is himself spiritual. Soul, being spirit, is seen in nothing imperfect nor material. Whatever is material is mortal. To the five corporeal senses, man appears to be matter and mind united. But Christian Science reveals man as the idea of God and declares the corporeal senses to be mortal and erring illusions. Divine Science shows it to be impossible that a material body, though interwoven with matter's highest stratum, misnamed mind, should be man, the genuine and perfect man, the immortal idea of being, indestructible and eternal. We should look away from the opposite supposition that man is created materially and turn our gaze to the spiritual record of creation, to that which should be engraved on the understanding and heart with the point of a diamond and the pen of an angel. Entirely separate from the belief and dream of material living is the life divine, revealing spiritual understanding and the consciousness of man's dominion over the whole earth. Knowing that soul and its attributes were forever manifested through man, the Master healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, feet to the lame, thus bringing to light the scientific action of the divine mind on human minds and bodies, and giving a better understanding of soul and salvation. Jesus healed sickness and sin by one and the same metaphysical process. Spirit is the ego which never dreams, but understands all things, which never errs and is ever conscious, which never believes, but knows, which is never born and never dies. Spiritual man is the likeness of this ego. Man is not God, but like a ray of light which comes from the sun, man, the outcome of God, reflects God. Human ignorance of mind and of the recuperative energies of truth occasions the only skepticism regarding the pathology and theology of Christian Science. When false human beliefs learn even a little of their own falsity, they begin to disappear. A knowledge of error and of its operations must precede that understanding of truth which destroys error until the entire mortal material error finally disappears, and the eternal verity, man created by and of spirit, is understood and recognized as the true likeness of his maker. To succeed in healing, you must conquer your own fears as well as those of your patients, and rise into higher and holier consciousness. God is not the creator of an evil mind. Indeed, evil is not mind. We must learn that evil is the awful deception and unreality of existence. Evil is not supreme. Good is not helpless, nor are the so-called laws of matter primary and the law of spirit secondary. Without this lesson, we lose sight of the perfect Father or the divine principle of man. Mentally contradict every complaint from the body and rise to the true consciousness of life as love, as all that is pure and bearing the fruits of spirit. Fear is the fountain of sickness, and you master fear and sin through divine mind. Hence it is through divine mind that you overcome disease. Only while fear or sin remains can it bring forth death. To cure a bodily ailment, every broken moral law should be taken into account and the error be rebuked. Fear, which is an element of all disease, must be cast out to readjust the balance for God. Casting out evil and fear enables truth to outweigh error. The only course is to take antagonistic grounds against all that is opposed to the health, holiness, and harmony of man, God's image. The manifestation of God through mortals is as light passing through the windowpane. The light and the glass never mingle, but as matter, the glass is less opaque than the walls. The mortal mind through which truth appears most vividly is that one which has lost much materiality, much error, in order to become a better transparency for truth. Then, like a cloud melting into thin vapor, it no longer hides the sun. Note this, that the very message or swift-winged thought which brought forth hatred and torment brought also the experience which at last lifted the seer to behold the great city, the four equal sides of which were heaven bestowed and heaven bestowing. Truth has no consciousness of error. Love has no sense of hatred. Life has no partnership with death. Truth, life, and love are law of annihilation to everything unlike themselves, because they declare nothing except God. This concludes the readings.